in the book of John chapter 11, please. The book of John chapter 11. Had a number of sermons laid out today, and a couple in the book of James, since we're traveling through that. One on another name of Christians. But I just couldn't get away from an old sermon that I have. And this is a sermon I've actually preached here before, back in 2003. Time flies, no doubt about it. But I can't get away from it. And I want to be guilty to be a preacher that preaches what God wants me to preach. And I feel like this is the direction that God would have me to go. Maybe you're the reason. I don't know. It'll all make sense when we start reading here. John chapter number 11, verse 1. I'm glad when we go the last mile of the way, we're going to see the lovely face of Jesus Christ. That's a sweet thought, isn't it? Stop and shout right there for about 5 minutes. Amen. I mean, we're going to see the Lord one of these days. I mean, we're going to see Him. We've preached about Him, heard about Him, felt His wonderful presence. And my, when we feel His presence, we just get a little taste of what it must be like when we see Him for the first time. I'm glad it's real, aren't you tonight? This is real tonight. Amen. John chapter 11, verse 1. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister sent unto Him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom Thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When He had heard therefore that he was sick, He abode or stayed right where He was for 2 days, still in the same place where He was. And after that saith He to His disciples, let us go into Judea again. Skip down to verse 17. Then when Jesus came, He found that he, Lazarus, had lain in the grave 4 days already. If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark the three words in verse 17. It's the three words, 4 days already. And I want to preach to you tonight on this subject, when all hope is gone. When all hope is gone. Let's pray together, and I want to share this thought with you. Our Father, we love You tonight, and I thank You, God, for who You are. I thank You for Your sweet presence that I have felt here already. And I pray, God, that You'll shower us tonight with a visit from heaven. Would You come and be our invited guest? Would You forgive my sins? If anything's in my life hindering You, would You get it out of my life? Help me to preach this message with power. May it be a help. May it be a comfort, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In northern Chile, between the Andes Mountains and the Pacific Ocean, lies a narrow strip of land where the sun shines every day of life. Now you might think, well, that must be a beautiful, beautiful place. But in reality, it's a barren and a desolate wilderness. Because see, if the sun's always shining and there's never any rain, there's never any clouds, the place will just dry up and wither away. And may I say to you that what we desire in our life is sunshine. But if God did not send the thunder clouds every now and then, He knows that we'd never grow the way He wants us to grow. And in Matthew chapter 21, verse 17, in Mark chapter 11, verse 11, and in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, we see that this home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus was a home where Jesus was welcome. May I say to you, He was welcome in this home. They loved Him in this place, but now sickness had struck this home. A home where Jesus Christ was welcome. A home where Jesus Christ was exalted and where Jesus Christ was loved. Sickness still came to that home. Trouble and heartache had come upon them. A hopeless situation was developing. And my title will all make sense in just a little while. Now there are three things in this story that I see that can be a help to all of us as we consider when all hope is gone. And I want to give you these three things quickly tonight. Number one, we see the message.
In verses 1 through 3, look at it, it says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick." Notice the word "therefore." They understand that their brother is sick and in need of Jesus Christ. So they sent him a message. They wanted the Lord to know exactly what they were going through. See, they had nobody else to turn to. They knew they needed to get word to Jesus Christ. They did not go to the psychic hotlines. They did not go to the world for help. May I say to you, they went to the right one for help, and his name is Jesus Christ. They sent a message in their time of trouble to the Lord God of heaven. And may I say to you that Psalm 18:6 says, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God." And Psalm 107 verse 6, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses." I wonder, is there a problem or a circumstance in your life that's troubling you right now? And maybe you feel all hope may be vanishing away from you. May I give you some pastoral advice? Send a message. Send a message to Jesus Christ. Learn to turn your burdens over to the Lord God of heaven. The Bible says in Philippians 4:6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." The first thing we see when all hope is gone is we've seen the message. But the second thing I want to show you, which really is the major thought I want you to see, is we see the Master in this text. In verses 4 through 7 and all the way from verses 11 through 37, obviously I'm not going to take time to read it. But in verse number 3, you see the word "Lord." And that word "Lord" can also mean "Master." And if you look at verse 28, it says, "Behold, the Master is come." Now we've seen, as we consider when all hope is gone, we've seen the message. Now we're focusing on the Master, and I want to show you three things that I trust will encourage your heart tonight. Number one, the first thing I want to show you about the Master is his time. Look at verse number 6. "When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." Look at verse 17. "Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already." Now understand here that the sisters had done everything they knew to do. There was still hope, if you remember, when they sent the message. They sent the message, but he still had not appeared. Someone said, "He's coming, but he is 4 days late." And seemingly all hope was gone. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. Back in this day, according to some teachings that was going on, there were some false teachings being taught back in this day that this was happening, that when somebody died, that their spirit hovered around the body for 3 days trying to get back into the body, trying to get back in and get back in and get back in. But when the fourth day came, the spirit realized there was no more hope, corruption had set in, and the spirit took its flight. Now stay with me here. Now you and I know that that teaching is false. But could it be that Jesus Christ knew that that teaching was being taught? And it just so happened that the day that Jesus Christ stepped into town was not the first day. Because if he had of, then the teaching would just justify it and say the Spirit made its way back in. It wasn't the second day because the same thing could be said. It wasn't the third day. But it just so happened that he stepped in town on the fourth day. Now stay with me here. Humanly speaking, even according to the spiritual teachings of that day, all hope had vanished. All hope had gone. The sisters wanted him earlier, but his time was now. Now stay with me here, because if you don't get this, you're going to miss the message. His delay was not denial. Did you hear what I just said? But rather, we will see it was the tenderest concern for everybody around him. His time may not be our time, but thank God his time is always on time. In Lamentations 3:25, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him. I wonder tonight, have you been praying for the Lord to help in some situation and he's not yet appeared? Maybe it seems like the first day's come and gone. Maybe it seems like the second day's come and gone. Maybe it seems like the third day's come and gone. Maybe you think the fourth day has already arrived. But may I tell you something? When Jesus Christ steps into town, hope has just arrived in your life. You need to understand something. He's not on a timetable. He's not on my timetable. He is on his own timetable and he is not bound by time. If he shows up, he's on time. Did you hear what I just said? If he comes, he is on time. That's the first thing we notice about our master. We notice his time. The second thing I want you to notice about the master is not only his time, but secondly, his testimony. I like that. Look at verse number 23. Actually, look at verse number 20. Now, she hears that Jesus is coming, okay? And we pick up our reading in verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Have you ever been there? If you'd only come a little bit sooner, just a day or two sooner, if you hadn't have stayed where you were, you ever been there? Some of you are there tonight. Read on, verse 22. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Now notice what Martha thought he meant. In verse 24, Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now look up here just a moment. Here's what's happened. Their brother is sick, only sick. He's not dead, he's sick. He needs the Lord. They have done everything they know to do. They have sent a message to Jesus. Now they're waiting. And lo and behold, instead of getting up and coming immediately, he stays right where he was for 2 days. By the way, he makes no mistakes. He stayed right where he was. And lo and behold, their brother died. The first day, the second day, the third day, and on the fourth day, Martha hears Jesus is on his way. So she goes to him. And she says, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. But I even know now whatever you ask of God, he's going to give it to you. Jesus said, Martha, your brother's going to rise again. She turns to him because she thinks he's putting her off. And she says, Lord, I know he's going to rise again at the last day. But notice his testimony in the next verse. Now look at it, verse 25. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection. Amen. And the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this. In this right here, what Jesus Christ is saying, he says, your brother's going to rise again. She says, I know he's going to rise again the last day. And Jesus said, wait a minute, Martha, you don't understand something. I am that resurrection. I am that life. It is me that's going to cause him to come out of the grave. And may I say this to you? He is saying the whole person to restore, the whole person to impart and maintain life resides in me. By whom shall he rise if he's not going to rise by me? And the word never there where it says shall never perish, that word never means not at all, by any means, in no case. And may I say this to you? We see in his time and his testimony that he is the answer to every problem that we face. It makes no difference if look here, if your problem has been dead for 4 days, if Jesus Christ wants to resurrect,
He can. That's his testimony. He's all powerful. He's omniscient. I'm talking, folks, he is God.
It is his clear testimony that he can do anything he wants to do. We've noticed his time. He's always on time. No matter if he's 4 days late, he's still on time. Secondly, we've noticed his testimony. He is the resurrection. He is the answer. And then thirdly, I like this, we see his tears. In verses 28 through 36, and when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the master is come and calleth for thee. By the way, this is just a side note. Who did the Lord come to? Those who sent for him. That's who he came to. And if you call for him, if you call for him in your need, he may not come exactly when you want him to, but he'll come to you in his own time with his testimony and with his tears. Now, I like this that I'm getting ready to give you. I'm glad tonight to report to you that Jesus Christ cares. He cares about you. And he cares about me. We see this because look at verse number 20. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was yet not come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up patiently and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth into the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and notice this, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now I want you to see something. There's no way that I can read this passage to give it justice to what Mary was literally doing here. Her heart was literally broken. Her brother had been taken from her. And when she saw the Lord, the Bible says that she fell at his feet. Fell at his feet. And said, Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother had not died. Now notice verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her, what? Weeping. When he saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Notice this next verse. Two words, shortest verse in the Bible. My, is it profound. Jesus wept. Now, in verses 32 and 33, we see that the only thing Mary could do was cry. She was questioning, and she was crying. You ever been there? You ever questioned the Lord? You ever had something weigh you down so much that all you can do is weep yourself to sleep at night and cry yourself to sleep? You ever been there? Some of us are there now, aren't you? I am so glad that that verse right there with those two words are in this portion of Scripture. You know what Jesus did? Now, folks, keep in mind his testimony. He's the resurrection. He knows what he's getting ready to do. He knows it's not final. But the only thing he knows is there is one of his precious kids coming to him, and all she can do is fall at his feet and grab him around the feet and cry her eyes out. Instead of saying, get up, don't you know who I am? He cried with her. Amen. He cried with her. Some people try to say, well, he cried because of their unbelief. I say hogwash on that. Some people say, well, he cried because he knew he was going to bring Lazarus back. I say hogwash on that. Some people, well, he cried because of the sin that was the underlying cause. I say phooey on that as well. You cannot convince me that he cried for any other reason but that he loved them and he cared for them. And he wanted them to know that when they wept tears, he was weeping right along with them. I'm reminded of the song in on page number 89. Don't turn to it. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained? Too deeply for mirth and song. As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long. Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades in the deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When my deep grief, I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long. Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it aught to him? Does he see? And the chorus says, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. I don't know about you tonight, but I am glad that even at times when I question, and even at times when I don't understand why, and even at times when I cry and I'm not sure why I'm even crying, I'm glad that instead of the Lord reprimanding me, he wraps his arms around me and he cries with me. Amen. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He cared about Mary and Martha's tears. And folks, he cares about yours too. He really does. He cried right along with her. I'm glad to report to you tonight that Jesus cares. Whatever you're going through, Jesus cares. If the only thing you can do is cry, Jesus cares. If it seems like all hope is gone and all hope is vanished, Jesus cares. And when they sent for him, he came. But it was in his time, with his testimony, with his tears. This brings me to my third thing I see in this story. As we consider when all hope is gone, we've noticed the message that they sent to him. And keep in mind, when they sent the message to him, he had not died at this time. He was only sick. They did everything they knew to do. They rolled their burden over on the Lord. But instead of him getting up and going, you know, I always thought it's interesting that the verse right before it says he abode where he was, it says in verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Because maybe he thought when we read that we might start questioning a little bit. You understand what I'm saying? That's beautiful right there. He wanted to make sure that in his holy, inspired, inerrant, infallible word, that there's no mistake about it. Before he told us that he stayed right where he was, he said, by the way, I love them very much. But I stayed right where I was for 2 days. They didn't understand it. That's obvious because of the way they responded. If you had been here, if you had only been here. They didn't know what he was doing, but he did. Aren't you glad he knows what he's doing tonight? You don't have to worry about it. God's timing is always perfect. He has the testimony to take care of anything in your life. And if you're crying, he's crying right along with you because he loves you tonight. He cares about you. Hey, man. I mean, God cares about me. Amen. Somebody say amen right there, folks. God cares about us tonight. Jesus Christ loves me, and he loves you tonight. He cried with her. Third thing I see, that led us to the miracle. In verses 38 through 44, look at it. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. And here's Martha. Wonderful woman, but she's doubting again. The sister that was dead said that, Lord, by this time he stinketh. Sounds a whole lot like us, doesn't it? I'm going to be honest. She's doubting a little bit here. She's doubting. For he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her,
Said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always. Now this is a separate sermon. But let me just give you a thought here. Jesus Christ is our intercessor. If you're saved, he's interceding. He's praying for you tonight. And what'd he say right here? I know my Father hears me always. And he's praying for me. But yet right here we see, take away the stone. Lord, are you sure about that? I mean, he's been dead 4 days. By now he stinks. Didn't I tell you, Martha, that if you'd believe that you'd see the power of God? So they took away the stone. And it says in verse 43, and when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice. Notice it didn't say he just talked. He didn't say, Lazarus, come forth. The Bible says he cried with a loud voice. Wouldn't you love to have been there? Can you imagine being there? He's praying, he's talking to his heavenly Father, and he says, take the stone away, and he gets up, and he says, Lazarus, come forth! Can't you just see every eyeball just looking right at the opening of the tomb? Just open, just with their mouth open. And some people will just say, this guy's crazy. Can you believe this? And they look. Now notice what happened. In verse number 44, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. You know what that word means where it says, and he that was dead came forth? You know what that literally means? Came out the dead man. That's what it means. Hallelujah. What's this mean? Jesus performed a miracle when all hope was gone. Did you get what I just said? All hope was gone. It's 4 days, man. I mean, the spirit took its flight. Corruption had set in. He stinks by now. Not when the great I Am speaks. Because when he spoke, the dead heard him and came back alive. Amen. And what I'm saying to you here is Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Let that verse sink in a while. Let me ask you a question. Are you taking advantage of that verse? That verse convicts me. Unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or even think. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all of that. And yet so many times we settle for something less than who he really is. However, notice that this was his choice. This was not their choice. Their choice was for him to come when he was sick. Remember? He made the choice to bring Lazarus back to life. They never asked him to raise their brother from the dead. Are you listening to me? I'm in no way preaching that if you send him a message somewhere down the road, he's going to give you a miracle. I'm not preaching that. But what I am preaching is this. He can if he wants to. He can if he wants to. But it's up to him. And he is powerful enough to do it, no matter what it is. No matter what it is. Here we have Lazarus who is dead and has laid in the grave for 4 days. And according to this teaching, that meant that the spirit had taken its flight and all hope was gone. And Jesus Christ answered the message by coming in his time with his testimony, with his tears, and he gave him a miracle. Let me ask you a question. Do you need a miracle tonight? Are you searching God? Are you sending God a message and he hasn't shown up in your life? Is there something or someone beyond hope in your life? Has all hope gone in your life? May I say to you, send the Master a message. And in his time, with his testimony, with his tears, he will come to you. And if he so chooses, he can give you a miracle. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I'll answer thee. And show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I wonder tonight, what are you going through? Does it seem like all hope is gone? Let me remind you again, send the message to the Master. Someone said this, there is no hopeless situations. There's only people who grow hopeless about them. Let me say it again.
There are no hopeless situations when you put God in the equation. But there's only people who grow hopeless about them. I'm going to show you one last thing here. And I'm slowly coming to a close. Look at verse 45 and 46. This is after this took place. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. I don't know if you see what I see there. What the Lord did caused a division among these people. Some believed. Some didn't. You know who I'm preaching to tonight? The same type two people. Some of you will believe and keep sending a message. Some of you will quit because you really don't believe He's going to answer you. It's still the same today. Which one are you? What am I preaching tonight? Here's what I'm preaching. I want every eyeball to look at me, please. Give the Master a chance. Just give Him a chance. And I promise you, whatever He chooses will be the best for you. Because He loves you. And He cares about you. When all hope is gone, we see that in the verse that He had lain in the grave 4 days already. And on the fourth day is when the Lord stepped on the scene. And He took care of business. And maybe you need Him to take care of business in your life tonight. I want you to bow your heads, please, and close your eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our Father, I love You. And I pray tonight, Jesus, that You will help us to lead, guide, and direct this invitation in a way that pleases You. We thank You that there is hope as long as You are in the equation. God, help me to guide this, I pray, in Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. It reminds you that decay had set in this situation. And humanly speaking, all hope seemed to be gone. Maybe there's a situation in your life that you're going through in which it feels like decay has set in. Let me ask you a question. How does your problems compare to Mary and Martha's? You know, it might be a marriage problem, or it might be a wayward child, or it might be a job situation, or a family sickness, or a personal sickness, or a financial need, or maybe you just think nobody knows and nobody cares. Let me remind you that Lazarus was dead. It was over, so they thought. But when Jesus stepped on the scene, new life began. May I challenge you to send Him a message. And be patient waiting for Him. May not be what you want, you understand? But Jesus will always choose the right answer in our lives. You just have to have faith in Him and trust Him. Have you say, Jody, I'm a child of God. I'm kind of doing this backwards a little bit tonight. I'm going to deal with the children of God first. Have you say, Jody, I'm a child of God. And when God laid this message on your heart to preach this message, there's no doubt in my mind that He had me in mind. You say, Jody, this message is, I am definitely one of the reasons why God laid that message on your heart so strongly. If you be honest, would you raise your hand all over this auditorium? All over it. Yes, many, many hands. Yes, God bless you. May the Lord help you with this. You can put your hands down. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to respond by coming to this altar. And by the way, when you respond, you help those who may be lost to respond as well. I trust this will encourage you. Is there somebody here tonight? You say, Jody, I'm just like Lazarus. Oh, I'm not physically dead, but you know the Bible teaches that those who are lost in their sins are dead in trespasses and sins. And they need to be spiritually alive. They need to be spiritually resurrected. That's the new birth, you understand? That's by inviting Jesus to come into your heart and forgive your sin and be your Lord and Master. Is there somebody tonight say, Jody, I'm concerned that I'm dead in trespasses and sin. I'm concerned I'm not on my way to heaven. And I need Jesus to call my name I need to ask him to come into my heart and be my Lord. Tired of playing games. I need to become a child of God. Anybody like that? Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? We're not going to come to your seat. We will not call you out. Anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Put it right back down. Anybody at all? Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Our Father God, we love you. I pray that you'll help those who need to respond tonight. Help those that you're speaking to turn it over to thee and realize that you know what's best. Help us all to have faith in that, I pray, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, Brother Gary singing. If God is dealing with you, I want you to leave your place and come now. Would you do that? Would you come right now, please?
Are you weary? Are you heavy?
All over this auditorium, you say, Jody, this message is for me. I want you to leave your place and come now. May God help you with it. May the Lord help you with it.
Tell it to Jesus.
May feel like all hope is gone.
Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
Playing through softly, if you're still standing, I'd like you to look this direction, please. When my eyes surf and I look around, I see people that I know are hurting. And by the way, if you don't need this message tonight, you better stick it in your back pocket. You're going to need it sometime. Life's not always a bed of roses. A rose has thorns on it. Every now and then we get stuck and it hurts. But all I'm trying to encourage you with tonight, and it's easy to preach it, it's another thing to live it, you understand? But all I'm trying to encourage you with is that when you have God, nothing's impossible. Nothing. Now, I want to tell you, I believe that. I'm not sure how well I'll live that out. But I do believe that. There's nothing too hard for him. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly what you're dealing with. And by the way, if you question him, I'm not saying that's right because you're not the first ones to question him. Mary and Martha questioned him. But I'm glad that even in the midst of doubt, he did not turn a deaf ear to them. He dealt with them tenderly because he knew what he was doing in their life. And he tenderly brought them to a place of understanding. And when he did, can you imagine what it did for them? Same thing it'll do for you. Don't give up. Don't give up. Because as long as there's breath, there's hope. If you have the Lord, if you're saved, you have him, whether you know it or not. You've got the resurrection living inside of you. And if you have a spiritual decay problem going on over here, or something decaying over here, or something decaying right there, or something taking corruption setting in right there, the devil try to make you think, wave the white flag, it's over. And I want to challenge you with something. He had lain in the grave 4 days already before the Lord showed up. And when the Lord came, he tenderly took his children under his wing. And he said, let me tell you who I am. I am that resurrection. I am that life. He will rise because of me, Martha. Not because of some event, but because of me. It's found in me, Martha. I am him. It is I. And if I so choose, I can speak. And even the dead will hear me. I hope this will help you tonight. I really do. I trust it will. When all hope was gone, they sent a message. The Master showed up, gave him a miracle. May the Lord do the same for you. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father, we love you. I pray that you guide our preacher as he brings us to a conclusion. Help us all, Lord, to be encouraged, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You go right ahead, preach.
Amen. Thank you very much, Brother Jody. I'm glad that's true, aren't you? I'm glad it's true. Lord, he's the only one can help us. He's never had present help in time of need. Thank you very much, Brother Jody. I wait till Brother Jody gets back through there with his jug of H2O.
Amen.
And then we'll dismiss. Well, thank you for coming tonight. God bless you. We'll see you.